SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you. We got a lot to do this hour. We got some football stuff. I'm going to complain about the NBA All-Star Game reserves. I'll find a few things to complain about. Coach will be around. We're going to go through some of Friday night's games. So very, very busy second hour of CNL. Before we get to the start and the intro, 70-57, so 13 now the Lakers are up. And the Pacers are up 8 at the Garden. Cavs down 8 in Memphis. I just saw a little bit of a run. Nebraska's down 17. And they got it back to 10, and then I think it just went to 13 as the kid hit a 3 on Wisconsin. So 30-17, Wisconsin leads Nebraska here with 6 minutes left in the first half. So they need a little push here from the Huskers. You know, they're just a lot of empty possessions, nothing going on for Nebraska. Hoiberg's got to settle this crowd down here. Here's this kid dribbling around. There's he makes a bucket. Let's go. 11. Get this under 10 and keep it there. Get it under 10 and keep it there. Let's go. Come on now. All right. So there we go. We're very excited about what's going on. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Great to have you with us here. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out on assignment. 844-843-6879 is the number. Good night to call because Joe's not around. So usually it's me and Joe yell at each other. We never get to things and we do all that. But Joe's not around tonight, so we'll have Coach also later this hour, as we'll do some hoops with him. I want to start with this though, only because I just saw. So they did the reserves for this NBA All-Star game, which is in a couple weeks. Me and Matias were looking before. It's the weekend of the 16th or 17th. I think they're in Indiana this year, wherever they're at. But they did the reserves for it. And it's like, of course, it's the usual suspects, right? Like, in the East, Brunson and Randall from the Knicks, which I think both are pretty deserving. Donovan Mitchell, Maxey, Jaylen Brown, Bam Adebayo, and Banchero from Orlando, that's nice to see. So I'll give them a hat tip there, putting Banchero in, because he deserves it. He's had a really good season, even though the Magic have had a miserable last month and a half after a great first month and a half. On the West, same old, Booker, Curry, AD, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. We needed both of them? Like, really, we needed both guys? Carl,
they deserve it. Come on.
Hold on,
they deserve it.
Let's get there in a moment. Now, Minnesota's been the best team in the West. One of the two or three best teams in the West all year. I got no problem with Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns both being there. Do we need, and I get it, everybody loves stars. Do we need both LeBron and AD? We need both of those guys in the game? Was that necessary? I mean, neither of them ever. First of all, neither of them ever play to begin with. Second of all, I guess what they probably did was, we'll name them to the team because we know they're not going to play anyway, and then we can name a replacement. And we can get somebody else their all-star clause and their contract in. Like, you can't. I think the one I've seen the most on people complaining about, and I agree with it when you look at the number, is Sabonis. Like, the Kings don't garner somebody being in this game. I mean, Oklahoma City's been outstanding all year. They don't garner a second guy. Shai Gilgeous got voted. He was one of the starters. You know, Holmgren hasn't been good enough. I'm surprised they didn't find a way to fit Wembanyama into this thing. I just don't know. I mean, the overkill. Like, we need AD in there again. And I love, and listen, we love Steph Curry. Is he having his best, you know, a great year? Is he having an all-star year? No, I mean, he's not having a typical huge year. I mean, I'm probably wrong. Somebody's probably going to tweet at me now that he's averaging, you know, 26.5 a game, or whatever. Warriors suck this year. Okay? Find me some guys who could be in. I saw my man Ricky Buckets, Rick Kamla, saying that they snubbed Trae Young again. I could see that, too. I could see that. They snubbed Trae Young.
Let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, Jalen Brunson or Trae Young?
Well, no, Jalen Brunson's got to be in the game before Trae Young. But, like, who cares about positions? And I'm sure that that's what this is based on. Like, Bam's there because he's a big. Like, what the hell's Bam done this year? The Heat's another team. Are they even 500? Were they a game over? I don't know. I want to find guys who, you know, deserve it. I just don't feel like Bam's at a all-star type year. But once again, I'm sure some charts and graphs people will tell me that I'm wrong. But the best part about this, as I was saying to you earlier, is who cares, because I'm not going to watch the game anyway. I'll put a couple guys in for MVP, and you have to let me know afterwards if they want. Do we need both Kawhi and PG? You're the Clipper guy around here, Matias. I need both of these guys in the game?
This year, I'd say, yeah. You know why? Because they've played their asses off, both of them. Kawhi hasn't taken nights off. He's been killing
They've played, proven. Period. Just say it. They've played.
They've actually played.
Has Kawhi
I haven't been to that many games in person this year, Carver, but I got to say, the one that I did go to in person, both those guys are absolute stars. And if the Clippers stay healthy and nothing happens bad and they're not snake bitten like they usually are, they have a major chance to win a championship. They've been playing defense.
How many games has Kawhi played this year? 42 out of 46. That's pretty good for him.
That's amazing.
42 out of 46. Are you kidding me? It's amazing. Kawhi. And how many has George played? He didn't play the last game against Washington, I see. How many games?
Yeah, because he has a little groin injury.
He's missed a lot more. He's actually played more. He's played 43 out of the 46. So I'm wrong on that. You know what, Matias? They've both played. Good job by you. And George is averaging 23 a game. And the Clippers have, what are they now, fourth in the West, I think?
Yeah, they are. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they keep climbing.
They're third in the West now. They got less.
They're dangerous, Carver. Everybody's bought in. And the only guy who didn't buy in is PJ Tucker, and that's why he hasn't seen a minute off of the bench. You know, everybody else, they're in it to win it.
PJ Tucker. So he hasn't bought in, huh? Nobody's a fan of PJ.
No, that was the news. You know, right when they got him in that trade, they gave him limited minutes, and he was bitching about it right away. He said he wants out of here, but nobody else wanted him, so they couldn't get him out of there.
Ty Lue ain't gonna handle that. He ain't gonna stand for that. Ty Lue ain't dealing with that nonsense. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. We got a lot more to do on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Great to have you back with us here. On the grid, Carver, Sands, Lisi, Joe out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow. Coach stopping by later as well, as he'll jump in, and we'll do a little NBA. There's a very big slate on Friday night, so we'll get some of Coach's thoughts on that and some college hoops for this weekend. Et cetera. All right. There was a few things with the foot. We're still getting closer. Obviously, everybody's going to get to Vegas next week. I did see this got back to Niners 2.5, huh? How about that? Vandal's got it at 2.5. Has everybody else got it at 2.5? Let's see. Did everybody move or just them? It's like just them. BetMGM has it at flat two still. But FanDuel moves it back to Niners minus 2.5. And they still have the total at 47.5 as we sit here Just over a week out, week and a couple days away, and they're starting to get a lot more of the nonsense props up, which we absolutely love. And so hopefully they'll add a few more of these between now and next week. And then I'll get my cross sport ones up, which I absolutely love as well. There was a few other coaching things in the NFL. So Dan Quinn is going to be the new Washington head coach. Dan Quinn. That's where they got left with after they thought they were going to have Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Lions. And I guess Ben decided, you know, either Ben asked for a lot of money, which I don't think is, they were flying to Detroit to meet with him. I guess Ben just decided, I'm going to stay another year in Detroit. I'm going to get ready. Maybe it'll be a better job. I think people, despite new ownership and new leadership in Washington, I think probably people are still hesitant to go there. Dan Quinn is in a different situation. He can't wait for anything. Somebody offers him a job, he's going to take it. So Quinn, of course, was in Atlanta when they had the biggest Super Bowl collapse of all time, 28-3 against the Pats. He's been with Dallas the last few years. I'm actually still trying to figure out how it is that he was like this big head coaching candidate. Why did people think like the Dallas defense was some dominant unit this year? Or?
I think it's because every single time the Dallas Cowboys play, Carver, you notice how the camera crew always shows Dan Quinn whenever the Cowboys defense does anything good. It's like cameras on Quinn. And
they show him a lot during the game. That's why you got a head coach. Like, let's just call it like it is. The Cowboys are a bully team. They've been a bully team. This year they were a bully team. They beat up and feasted on teams that were not as good as them. And when they played good teams, they got their ass beat. I mean, how is Dan Quinn's defense in the Packer game in the playoffs? How'd they do that night? Well, why was there such like a, we got to get Dan Quinn in here? And forget just taking wax at him personally. As just a general philosophy thing, hiring a defensive coach nowadays, I don't get it. In today's NFL, I just don't see it. I mean, there's not many. The majority of the coaches in the league, if you kind of charted all of them, I think would lead more to the offensive side. I saw somebody. I want to try to get this tweet back up. Who tweeted this out? I think that I saw one of the guys in D.C. tweeted this about the last few Super Bowl, like the last 10 Super Bowls, and how many head coaches were either offensive or defensive based in it. I have it here. I save these things, Matthias. I wait. I know that I'm going to need some of these things. And we'll try to find it here. Where is my Dan Quinn information?
You know, I heard that they think that he's a good leader. You know, he's going to bring in the group and make it.
Isn't that what Ron Rivera was?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Ron Rivera was? Here it is. Grant Paulson from D.C. He's the guy who tweeted this out, who's been in D.C. for a very long time. Does a great job down there. Super Bowl is going to be played between two offensive-minded head coaches for the fifth consecutive year. So for the fifth straight year, both head coaches in the Super Bowl are offensive backgrounds. In the NFC, the NFC title game has had two offensive, quote-unquote, head coaches in six straight years. 12 coaches in a row. And you go to 13 out of 14 over 7 years. Offensive backgrounds. In general, offense is more important than defense. It says here, Paulson's got, from 2000 to 2022, 53% of the head coaches in the NFL were offensive. Offensive coaches have accounted for 61% of the top five offenses. Even when you hit on a defensive head coach, if their OC is really good, that becomes an issue. The OC will get hired for a head coaching job. Then what? Same thing. He's got some good examples here. Dan Quinn in Atlanta.
They were
really good when they had Kyle Shanahan. What happened when Kyle Shanahan left? chopped. Mike Vrabel in Tennessee lost Arthur Smith to the Falcons when he had, you know, then Arthur Smith was considered an elite offensive coordinator. Then what happened? Chopped. There are now currently eight defensive-minded. Well, there were eight defensive-minded head coaches in the NFL last season. Antonio Pierce was the ninth when he got hired in season. No defensive coach made the Final Four. The last six defensive-minded head coaches to be hired are 62 and 83. That counts D'Amico Ryans, who was 10 and 7 this year. These are great numbers from Grant Paulson. Of the eight defensive-minded head coaches with at least 1 year of experience, three have winning records in their careers. One is obviously Ryans from this year with 10 and 7. The other two are Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott. All of that stuff, you take all of that information and it's so true. It is an offensive league, and you are a team that has the second overall pick in the draft, and you are going to draft a quarterback. Hiring Dan Quinn? All right, fine. You know, leader of men stuff. How'd that go with not Riverboat Ron? Pretty stale. Some stale bread is what it is. You know, and I could get, you know, you hired, if you would hire the 36-year-old young defensive coach who went to Seattle, McDonald, that's one thing. But Dan Quinn, there's a reason why these teams always lose. You know, you could change, you could change the coach, you could change the players. And now for Washington, you could change the owner. They just always make bad decisions. Over and over and over again. And I just got a feeling that they're doing it again here. But it's like Joe always likes to say, right? Why win games 38-10 when you can lose them 13-10? I guess that's what Washington's going to go for with Dan Quinn. We'll see who his OC is. Actually, and I know I'm going to break right now, I saw a rumor of who his OC might be. Or one of the guys he's considering for his offensive coordinator. And I think that's a very interesting name. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll get into some other things. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Yeah. All right. So quickly, and then we're going to get to some other things. Like, we need to gamble on something, so we're going to do that in a moment. So Quinn goes to – he's got to hire an offensive coordinator. Now, the Raiders hired Cliff Kingsbury. So Cliff Kingsbury is going to be Antonio Pierce's OC in Vegas, which is going to be fun. Sure. At least he – you know, he's not – we're going to run it. That's not Cliff Kingsbury whatsoever. But there was a report – on Thursday night that Chip Kelly interviewed for that offensive coordinator job in Vegas that eventually went to Kingsbury. And that same report said that he's a name that Dan Quinn has dropped in his interviews to potentially be his offensive coordinator. And why is this significant? Why is Chip Kelly so hot to get at UCLA and to get back in the NFL? I think it's probably the same reason why we saw this guy Halfley leave Boston College and go to Green Bay. I think some of these coaches in college, I just don't think they like the way that it's going. Not everybody, but I think there's a few of them. Like, you saw the stuff with Halfley, who was it from ESPN was reporting? You know who I'm talking about. Thamel. That he didn't want to deal with the NIL and the transfer portal, and he just wanted to get back to just being a football coach. And a great opportunity with a great NFL franchise, blah, 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 blah. You watched Chip Kelly over the last year or two in these press conferences for UCLA, and you could tell he can't stand it either. So I think that that's a little bit of the same situation. I think Chip is sick of college football. I think he's sick of the way college football works now. I think he likes coming up with offense, and I think that that's why he's trying to get back in the mix in the NFL as an OC. Wants to just get out of college football altogether, just like this guy athlete did. Boston College headed himself up to Green Bay to be the DC. So I wouldn't be surprised. That would be very interesting if Quinn did that, if he had Chip Kelly come and be the OC as part of his staff. And I think that most, I think there'd probably be a lot of people who also say, well, that's also a quick way to get him fired. Maybe. I mean, Chip was a bad coach because he made awful decisions. He ain't going to be the head coach. Chip's a good offensive mind. Whether you like him or not, he's a good offensive mind. We'll see what happens there. So the NHL All-Star Game, they did an awful job with this Thursday night picking these teams for this dopey 3-on-3 tournament on Saturday. But they have got a lot of markets up for this skills competition on Friday night. I mean, they got accuracy shooting, fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling winner, one-timers winner, passing challenge. Now, it seems like, based on how they're presenting this whole thing, that it's like it's basically just the Maple Leafs against the Canucks. That's the entire All-Star game. And Connor McDavid, he's in there too. But this thing is so geared around Toronto. I know the game's in Toronto, but the game is so geared around Toronto. Like, they tried their hardest. They got every Maple Leaf on Matthews' team on Thursday night. They got all the Canucks on the Hughes brothers' team. This is crazy. But let's see if we can make some money here in this skills competition on Friday night. And we're going to have Coach next, and we'll do some of the NBA for Friday night as well. Hardest shot. Who's going to be in this thing? So they got five guys here for hardest shot. Pettersson from Vancouver, plus 185. Kale McCarr, plus 320. JT Miller, plus 340. Austin Matthews, plus 440. Pasternak, plus 650. Anything that's Toronto, I'd bet on here. They're going to try to give them. Fastest skater, Nylander, 10-1. Now, Barzell's won this before, and he's in it from the Islanders. He's plus 220. McDavid's plus 120. McDavid's won this before, too. Quinn Hughes pretty fast also. He's 10-1. Nylander's 10-1. I wouldn't mind taking some of these longer shots in this thing. What are they doing? The passing challenge winner. I mean, this is a total dart throw. There's a lot of guys in this. But all these skills competitions, what is the reason for this? It's all Leafs, Canucks, Pasternak, Kucherov. It's like the same seven or eight guys are in every single one. All the other All-Stars are just going to sit there and watch them? What's the format of this thing? Stick handling winner. McDavid, 5-1. There you go. Give it to him. Give it to him anyway. I guess there must be all these guys must be involved in every competition, because then they have a market here for All-Star skills outright. McCarr and McDavid are both plus 750. Kucherov and MacKinnon are plus 850. Whatever Austin Matthews is, play him. He's 10-1. They're basically building this entire thing around Toronto. Man, this is tough. Matthias, I can't get you in on any of this, right? Any of this nonsense All-Star
stuff? No. NHL All-Star break? No, not really. I'm still hurting from that Ducks victory last night in overtime. The Sharks played a great game, and then they just completely screwed it all up in the last 10 minutes of their period.
We swept the unders. The unders were all good on Wednesday night. The unders were all good. Two wins.
Carver, I played
an
in-game under 4.5, so I lost the bet and I lost the total. So no bueno.
Oh, because that was 3-2 final, right?
Final. The worst thing happened, which was Ducks tying the game up with 50 seconds left. The Sharks couldn't pick up the trash.
Wow, about that. Yeah, that was a good night. You could tell all those teams, those last two nights before the break, Tuesday and Wednesday night, they were just dying to get out of town. Just dying. They couldn't get to the beach and the margarita fast enough, those NHL players. And they could just taste that week off. And they wanted to get the hell out of there as fast as possible. I got a feeling all these guys in Toronto are going to be that way by Saturday night also. NHL All-Star game. And then the Pro Bowl, of course, there's really nothing going on with the Pro Bowl. They're just hitting each other with dodgeballs. and playing tug of war. Like, why not just give the guys their bonus? Everybody's got these things, incentives in their contract for making the Pro Bowl. Give them their bonuses and let them stay home. Drag everybody down to Orlando to throw dodgeballs at each other. That'll go on until somebody seriously gets hurt. Somebody's going to tear an ACL in the Pro Bowl dodgeball fiasco. Remember that happened to the Patriot running back way back in the day? They were playing, what the hell were they playing? They were playing, like, in the sand or something like that. Hurting beach football. Who was that happened to? Robert Edwards. That's who it was. They were playing a flag football game at the Pro Bowl. And here's a story. I found the story for it. Flag football game. And what did he end up doing? They had to carry him off. He must have ripped his knee up. Ripped four major ligaments in his left knee. It was the 99 season was over before it began. He was good for the Patriots, too. Oh, that's brutal.
Carver, I've been to a few Pro Bowls, like I think four of them, while I was living on Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, and, that's right.
And one of the guys who I'll never forget, because I was sitting right by the tunnel where the players come in and out, was Tyler Eifert for the Bengals. You know, usually I didn't see many injuries on the Pro Bowl because they usually take it very, very light. But one game they weren't, you know, taking it that light, and Eifert went up for a catch in the back of the end zone, and he busted his knee completely. And the anger and frustration that he let out when he was walking to the tunnel was just, it was immense, because he knew that his season was over. The Bengals were playing some good football at the time, and you know, it was all over just like that. You know what I mean? Just terrible stuff.
Yeah, he's getting hurt at the Pro Bowl. Just don't even risk it for some dopey dodgeball tournament. It's just absolutely
nuts. Well, all these players are having, you know, they're having margaritas, having Mai Tais on the beach. Their wives are there with their kids. It's a big vacation. It's supposed to be a layback, kickback time, and all of a sudden, you know, it just turned into the worst day of your life, you know, worst day of the year, you know, for some of these guys. Just bad stuff, man. And they party. That's the thing. The Pro Bowl, the players that are there in the Pro Bowl, if you ask any of them, they'll all say they want to go back to Hawaii.
They knocked that place down yet, that Aloha Stadium? They knocked that down yet?
No, of course not. It's still there. It's a sculpture, man. That's where they have the swap meets every single Saturday.
Jeez. Is that like a historic landmark now out there? Like they'll never get rid of that?
No. You know what? They use it for the kids. They use it for big-time high school games still. It's still a landmark on Oahu, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
The turf on that field is one of the worst turfs I've ever been on, Carver. And I've been on a lot of bad turf. Imagine when the U.S. Women's Soccer National Team was supposed to play there. Don't forget, they canceled the game the day before the game because they went to do a little field check, the girls did, and they said, we're not playing on this, and they canceled the game.
I don't blame them. You can't blame them. And now the Hawaii football team obviously plays in a on-campus facility where you can see the highways. Joe always makes the joke, the box trucks driving in the background over there. The on-campus one, that's where they play all the bowl games now and everything else. So no more of the old Aloha Stadium. All right, we'll come back. We'll get Coach in the mix. We'll do all the NBA and some of the college for Friday night. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. So we always jump around when Coach Young gets in the mix. Coach James Young with us here on CNL. All right, Coach, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Man, uh-oh. Hey, it's good to be on with you. And like I always say, it's always better when Joe Lisi is it on.
Coach loves throwing a jab at Joe when Joe ain't here, man. Coach loves throwing a jab at Joe when he ain't around. We got a lot to get to, Coach. We got a pretty full slate of NBA on Friday night. We got a ton of really big college basketball games this weekend. But I got to start here. Embiid's, I mean, look, I forget about the MVP nonsense. That's over. We don't need to even talk about that anymore. He's not winning the MVP. He's going to miss four games. He's going to miss whatever. I think now we have to start looking at Embiid, Coach, for more of a of a bigger picture aspect here with the 76ers. Forget the Dopey Award. Is this dude going to be around for them when it comes to April? Because we got the meniscus injury now. They're still trying to figure out what their path is going to be. That's bad news for Philly, Coach. Real bad news.
And you know what the crazy thing, Carter High, is? Usually Embiid gets hurt during the playoffs. He didn't even make it to the play. He didn't even make it to the All-Star break without the injury. So I think with Philadelphia, you know, you got to wonder, what are they going to do? You know, obviously Tyrese Maxey becomes the number one, but they have the expiring contract of Tobias Harris. Do they look to move someone like Tobias Harris to get more help? Do they lean on him? Obviously, you have a guy like Kelly Oubre Jr. that is a seasoned scorer that can score a lot. Paul Reed is going to have to step up. But now if you're Philadelphia, if anything, if you make no moves, you got to go get a big just to rebound and block shots, because Paul Reed is not going to be able to hold up because he gets in way too much foul trouble.
He gets in way too much foul, and they just need body, a body right now, Coach. Just need some kind of body, because now they're just free falling now. I mean, the Knicks have passed them. I mean, they're just starting to get passed here in the East, and they just got to find ways to keep themselves afloat. We got a couple good ones on Friday night here. The Suns have been, you know, the Suns have been weird, Coach. They got out to the slow start. They finally have everybody playing together. It seems to be starting to gel a little bit. They hammered the Nets the other night in Brooklyn. Now they go to Atlanta. They're 3.5-point favorites again, which is the same what they were favored in Brooklyn the other night. Another heavy total in this Atlanta game, 248.5. You think the Suns are starting to put it together, or is this going to end the way it always has ended for Durant the last 2 years with these try-to-be super teams?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Carver, he ain't got a lot of bullets left in the holster, so he's got to make sure that he finds a way to get his team to the finish line, because you know, he's running out of chances. He's running out of super teams and places to go. So, you know, at some point, Kevin Durant's got to put himself together and win himself a championship. But, yeah, listen, if Durant, Booker, and Beal stay healthy, you know, yeah, they're going to be good. And obviously, you know, the play of Nurkic has been outstanding, but he's also somebody who gets hurt a lot. Look for them to see to make a trade. There's rumors that they want to look at Miles Bridges. I think if they can upgrade the power forward spot, they'd be dynamite. But obviously, the other question is, Carver High, they have absolutely zero depth.
Oh, zero. Right? They got zero depth. But you knew that was going to be a problem when they made all these deals. You knew when they got Beal, they cleaned it out. You knew when the Ayton deal, where they ended up getting Grayson Allen involved. You thought they'd get a little bit of help there, but the guys just have not been there for them whatsoever. Warriors are in Memphis against the Grizzlies, who are played a tight game with the Cavs on Thursday night. But the Grizzlies getting six at home. You think the Warriors are ever going to suddenly get on a little bit of a run? Because they're buried below the play-in game right now.
Well, you know, what's that phrase is getting late early, right, Carver High? You know, so if you look at a case of this, you know, them playing Memphis, you know, they could be, you know, in a good spot because Memphis will be coming off a back-to-back. That gives them a rest advantage. Now, obviously, with them playing back-to-back, you know, yeah, there are some, you know, there could be some, you know, advantages here. So, listen, Golden State's got to get going early because of the fact of, you know, they have the talent. They're another team with the depth issue. So, you know, when you look at a team like Golden State, you know, you're going to say, well, listen, you know, Memphis is going to be playing back-to-back at home. So they're going to be in their home. They're going to be in their own beds, whatever. And Carver, it's still a late night. You still get out of the game, what? You know, game ends at 10 by the time you eat, get out of the locker room. It's 11:30, yeah. 11:45. You get home 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So, you know, Golden State probably came in from yesterday, practice yesterday, or practice today. So they should be well rested. And Memphis, you know, really has nobody playing.
Yeah, they are. You talk about bones for the buzzards. I mean, they got nobody out. Skeleton crew. They've been rolling out there every night, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. The Magic are in Minnesota. Minnesota first in the West, which I'm kind of surprised at, Coach. Like, this has been going on for a while now. I thought that by the All-Star break, it would maybe fizzle out a little bit. I think they'd be good, but maybe slip down to 3, 4, 5 in the West. But they're still holding strong here. Orlando's faded. They're now getting 7.5. Timberwolves, not only do they win at home, Coach, but they're always under at home, too. A lot of unders for them at home.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely do play to the under a lot. And listen, let's be honest, Trevor, they have the best defense in the NBA, anchored by Rudy Gobert, who's really kind of turned, I don't want to say turn his career around, because he last year just wasn't a good fit. It was hard to get those guys, put him and Kat to play together. But you look at a team like Minnesota, you know, they've had some interesting games. You know, they're coming off of a two-game road trip where, the Texas two-step, they went two games. So this would be a good spot for them. You know, I'm sorry, the Magic have been on the Texas two-step, so now they're going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But Minnesota is a team that, to me, Carver, I think when you're a young team, winning and having the one seed means a lot more to you than other teams. That's why I think them and OKC are going to go for it. I don't know if Denver's going to go for it. I think Denver would love to be the one seed and be in a mile high, but they're not going to push themselves crazy. The Clippers are going to push themselves crazy. The Suns are going to push themselves crazy because they have the experienced players. A team like Minnesota, a team like Oklahoma City that's young, they're going to have to be able to lean on their home crowd. So the one seed means a lot more to them than the more experienced ones.
I agree 1,000%, Coach, big time. One more from Friday, then I want to get you some college for the weekend. And that is the Spurs are home for the Pelicans, grabbing 7. You know, this kid's gotten better as we've gone along. You know, there was a long time there where they had Holmgren at the top of that board for rookie of the year. And suddenly, before you look, Wembanyama's back to like minus 270 for the rookie of the year. And he's been playing better. I wish he'd play a little bit more. He's still like 27, 28 minutes a night. Pop's been very, very strict with it. But them catching points at home, Coach, you know, they've had some nights where he has some pretty big games.
He has some pretty big games. And then, listen, I know they're going to be coming off that 108-98 loss to Orlando. But, you know, and they lost, obviously, to the Wizards at home. But remember, just last weekend, they beat Minnesota at home 113. You know, they played Philadelphia up by losing by 10. They're playing better, and he's starting to figure out. Carby, I sent it off Sports Grid in a tweet like a couple years ago. The kid did a move called the Sham God. And if you don't know what Sham God is, you probably know Sham God Wells, legendary point guard of the 90s, played at Providence, has a move that they call the Sham God. That's only done by guards. Carver High, he did it at 7-4, and I lost my damn mind. Like, the guy does one or two things a night that you've never seen before, right? Never seen before. So
yeah,
he's starting to get better. Honestly, I hate to say this, like, I'm going to sound like such a like a really bad person. I just wish it wasn't Pop coaching him. I just wish he had a younger guy, like to me, you know how much of a big Kenny Atkinson guy I am. Like, I want a guy that's a skill development guy, like a Kenny Atkinson, to make a build up the player, because I think he is all world talent, and it's just a little interesting watching him with Surly Pop.
We almost had Pop out, Coach, and then he won that draft lottery, and now he signed that another extension.
Yeah.
You thought you almost had Pop out. And
Carver, he looked 85 years old and dead, and all of a sudden he looked like he was with Keith Fernandez and Walt Frazier. He did a Just for Men commercial, and then he got 20 years younger. And then he got old again because they sucked. Now he's looking better. So Pop is going to hang on for this for dear life.
He certainly is. Saturday, Coach, I'm going to look ahead a little bit here because the college hoops on Saturday, you got 3 top 10 matchups on Saturday. Let's quickly go, because we only got like 2 minutes to try to do this. Houston and Kansas in Lawrence. Obviously, we don't have any numbers yet for these games, but what do you think about Houston and Kansas first on Saturday afternoon?
You know what? As soon as they went to that lead, Carter, that was the game I was waiting for. Like, you know, Kelvin Sampson at Fog Allen. Like, I mean, God damn, that's going to be great basketball. And here's the thing. Houston after losing those first two games, right, TCU and Iowa State, both games were, they got off the slow starts that they literally already stole. They're starting to play like Houston, and Kansas, who was once the number one team in the country, is now, I think, down to 30-1 in the national championship. It's a big game and a statement game for both teams. But don't sleep on the Duke Carolina game. It's gonna be fantastic. I think UConn St. John's to start the day is gonna be great. And then Tennessee, Kentucky. I'm hearing things, Carver High. DJ Wagner is hurt. He's got a bad ankle. I don't know if this is gonna be a one game thing or many, but he is banged up. Something to look out for.
Yeah, you know, I'll never trust Tennessee, Coach, ever. I mean, I know it ain't March yet. I mean, they started the other night with South Carolina. That kid, that big kid, number three, he hit a ton of shots, but, man, he missed a bunch of free throws, that kid. So yeah. I'm never going to trust them in a big spot. And I guess North Carolina was peeking ahead the other night when they lost to Georgia Tech. So they've got this game at home. But and I like how they did this, too. They put them back-to-back-to-back. On Saturday, 4 o'clock, 6:30, 8:30. They're trying to run them all three right in a row. So that's a really strong Saturday of college hoops, Coach. And there's some other good ones too. Iowa State, Baylor's playing. Auburn's going to Ole Miss. That's going to be tough for them. Texas, TCU. You notice how most of them are Big 12 because that's the best conference in basketball, Coach. The Big 12.
Not even Carver High. Not even close. Best conference of college basketball.
Yep. There you go, Coach. I always love when you agree with me with one of my basketball takes. I like that, Coach. It makes me feel good, Coach. Coach, great job, as always, my man. I will talk to you next week here, as always. Enjoy the hoops this whole entire week. And there he is, Coach James Young. Carver and Lisi, we're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Friday night, I know we did, there's heavy games on Saturday we just talked about with Coach, but Friday night for college, only two ranked games. Dayton has St. Bonnie's coming to them. They're laying 7.5. That could be a tricky game. St. Bonnie's isn't awful. They're 13-7 this year. They've got some decent wins. And then Butler's at Creighton. 9 o'clock East tip on Friday night. Creighton minus 9.5. There, Creighton's up to 13 in the country now. And other than that, on Friday night, there are a few other games. Ohio State's at Iowa. Iowa minus 5.5. That's the early TV game. San Jose State in Nevada late night in the Mountain West, with Nevada laying the 11.5 in that one. Before we go, nice effort by the Celtics on Thursday night. Nice job. Losing to the Lakers with no LeBron and no AD. Nice job by them. And we needed one more three from D'Angelo Russell, and we would have had a big night. Just unlucky. Just unlucky, as we always like to say. We'll be back tomorrow. We have a lot to do. Joe will be back from assignment, and we will dive into I promised him a lot of Super Bowl props before we head into the weekend. Joe's heading out to Vegas. He'll be there next week. So a very, very busy end-of-the-week show for us on Carver and Lisi. Good job by Coach for coming on. Great job, as always, by Matthias Burbell. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets. We'll see you tomorrow on the grid.